reading from the prophet Isaiah. Console my people, console them, says your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call to her, that her time of service is ended, that her sin is atoned for, that she has received from the hand of the Lord double punishment for all her crimes. A voice cries, prepare in the wilderness a way for the Lord. Make a straight highway for our God across the desert. Let every valley be filled in, every mountain and hill be laid low. Let every cliff become a plain, and the ridges a valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all mankind shall see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go up on a high mountain, joyful messenger to Zion. Shout with a loud voice, joyful messenger to Jerusalem. Shout without fear. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Here is the Lord coming with power, his arm subduing all things to him. The prize of his victory is with him. His trophies all go before him. He is like a shepherd feeding his flock, gathering lambs in his arms, holding them against his breast, and leading to their rest the mother ewes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. God's grace has been revealed, and it has made salvation possible for the whole human race, and taught us that what we have to do is give up everything that does not lead to God, and all our worldly ambitions. We must be self-restrained and live good and religious lives here in this present world, while we are waiting in hope for the blessing which will come with the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Christ Jesus. He sacrificed himself for us in order to set us free from all wickedness and to purify a people so that they could be his very own and would have no ambition except to do good. When the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, for mankind were revealed, it was not because he was concerned with any righteous actions we might have done ourselves. It was for no reason except his own compassion that he saved us by means of the cleansing water of rebirth and by the renewing us with the Holy Spirit, which he has so generously poured over us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. He did this so that we should be justified by his grace to become heirs, looking forward to inheriting eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A feeling of expectancy had grown among the people, who were beginning to think that John might be the Christ. So John declared before them all, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming, someone who is more powerful than I am, and I am not fit to undo the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now when all the people had been baptized, and while Jesus, after his own baptism, was at prayer, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily shape, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, my favor rests on you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to be O Lord Jesus Christ.
A pastoral letter from Terence Patrick Draney, Bishop of Middlesbrough. Dear brothers and sisters, go on, treat yourself, you deserve it. This strap line seems to be repeated over and over again in lots of adverts in the media. Even if these exact words are not employed, at least they are implied. We live in a world where the culture of entitlement is strongly favoured and lived out at every level of society and by every age group. "It's my right, I'm owed it," are not infrequently mantras. Yet, at the same time, there is another influential school of thought which tells us that we only possess what we earn. So we have to earn respect. It isn't naturally given to us. We have to demand our rights. We don't possess them as our birthright. Even the inalienable right to life is being questioned wildly in our society today. Value is decided by how much something costs rather than its intrinsic significance. These attitudes are in the air we breathe, and it is hard to avoid them. Despite ourselves, we find that our judgments are tainted by them. While Jesus, after his own baptism, was at prayer, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily shape like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved, my favor rests on you." Today is the feast of the baptism of the Lord. Over the last couple of weeks, we've spent some time around the scene of Jesus' birth in the stable at Bethlehem. But it is almost as though the church does not want us to to dally there too long, lest we should sentimentalize the true meaning of the Incarnation and Christmas. And today we witness at the beginning of Christ's public life the affirmation of the Father and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, God is truly among us, among his people, and we are his people, the sheep of his flock. As Isaiah says in our first reading, "Here is your God. He is the Lord coming with power. He is like a shepherd feeding his flock, gathering lambs in his arms, holding them against his breast, and leading to their rest the mother ewes." As we look around the world, surely there has never been a time when it is so blindingly obvious what a mess we have made of creation and of our planet. And if we are going to go down the line of what we deserve, what we are owed, to what we are entitled, then the answer will be far from praise or reward. And yet still our God does not abandon us. Just as at the first Christmas, God sends his Son among us, taking to himself our flesh, our life, and the consequences of our actions in order to heal us and bring us to salvation. So also he continues to do the same thing in our day. Why? Well, we heard the reason in our second reading. When the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, for mankind were revealed, it was not because he was concerned with any righteous action we might have done ourselves. No, it was for the reason, except his own compassion, that he saved us by means of the cleansing waters of rebirth and by renewing us with the Holy Spirit. We believe that through baptism we are made children of God, daughters and sons of the Father. When we were baptized, the Father looked deep into our very being, and seeing the image of his Son, Jesus imprinted there, he said to each of us, "You are my daughter, my son, my beloved ones. My favor rests on you." Being children of God is not something we have earned, not something we are owed, not something to which we are entitled. It is a pure gift, pure grace, freely given out of love and compassion. And again, St. Paul reminds us in our second reading that in return, all are asked to be self-restrained and live a good and religious life here in this present world, while we are waiting in hope for the blessing which will come with the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Christ Jesus. This, the principal significance of Christmas, of Incarnation, and today, on the feast of our baptism of the Lord, it is made so clear to us that the words of the preface at Mass say, "For in the waters of the Jordan, the Father revealed with signs and wonders a new baptism, so that through the voice that came down from heaven, we might come to believe in the Word dwelling among us." and by the Spirit's descending like a dove, we might know that Christ, the Father's servant, has been anointed with the oil of gladness and sent to bring us the good news to the poor. May that same Spirit also teach us, despite our waywardness and selfishness, how to renew the face of the earth. Yours in blessed hope, Terence Patrick, Bishop of Middlesbrough.